人才培训工程教学系列丛书，英语高级口语资格证书考试，高级听力教程第二版，周国强、杨永平主编，由上海外语音像出版社录制出版。第四盒
An Advanced Course of English Listening Second Edition。Part 2, Holiday Plans.
Well, I'm off tomorrow. I'm leaving tomorrow. Great holiday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Where are you going?
Italy. Tell us more.
Well, I'm leaving at 8 tomorrow morning.
From here?
Yes, driving to Gatwick, so that's about an hour or so. I'm arriving at the airport at 9 o'clock and taking off 10 o'clock. Going on a cultural holiday.This is what I've wanted to do for a long time.
Yes.
The usual sort of thing is lying on a beach, but this is going to be a bit different.
Yes, you don't like to do that, do you?
No, no. So I'm hoping to do some museums, art galleries, taste a bit of the food and the drink and the lifestyle of Italy. I've always wanted to go there. I've got a whole list of, you know, museums and art galleries, and in fact...I'm hiring a car in Milan, so I can drive around a bit. I can leave Milan and go south if I get bored with that city, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, that's not really my cup of tea at all for a holiday. No, I don't think I'll be doing that this year.
What are your plans then, Barbara?
Well, I'm not sure. I may go somewhere. Well, I don't know. I may go to Tenerife. I just want something, you know, where I can just relax.Lie in the sun for 2 weeks and come back, you know, looking fantastic. But I'm not sure where I'm going to go. I might go to Tenerife. I might go to Greece, you know. I haven't really made up my mind.
So you're not a cultural vulture like myself?
Oh, no, no. I mean, I like watching programs on the television, you know. But when it comes to walking around museums for your holiday, no. No, that's not for me at all. I'm far happier, you know, drinking up the old sunshine on the beach there.
Yes, I agree about that, actually.
Dropping into a bar at, you know, lunchtime, back on the beach. What about you, Mike? What's your plans?
Well, I'm quite happy to stay in England.
Really?
Yes.
What about the weather?
Weather's no problem.
A brave man.
I'll take it as it comes, yes, sure. No, I shall head off north to the Lake District as I usually do. I'm going at the end of term.
Nice.
I've got a week free.
Have you got something booked?
Yes.
What sort of thing?
Small cottage.
Nice.
Self-catering. Like to do that. Don't trust anybody else's food.
No.
So I shall do that.
And what, you'll be going out every day walking?
Right. That's the routine.
But what about if it's really raining or...
Well, if it's raining really hard, if it's really chucking it down, I'll go out in the car perhaps. But I really don't mind.I really don't mind going out in bad weather.
Do you go out rain or shine?
I don't mind, yes. No, I've got the equipment. I don't mind. In fact, it's often more exciting if the weather's a bit wild. Wind, rain, all that business? The elements, you know.
Well, I wish you luck. It's not my scene at all.
Nor mine, I'm afraid, no.
Part 3. Visiting India. Well, I'm planning a trip.Now, you've just been to India. I know you've been to India, Julia. This is where I'm thinking of going.
You lucky girl. I wish I could go again.
Now, whereabouts would you suggest that is the best part to go?
Well, there's only one part that I've been to, and that's up in the north. Most of the time, I was in Kashmir, in Srinagar. And, Julia, you were in the same place.
I was in Srinagar, too, yes.
I know you went like a month ago.
Yeah.
So that was in June, July. When did you go?
I went in the, over the Christmas period in 1883, 1884.
Right. And if I went to the northern part that both of you recommend and have been to, Is the weather greatly different near Christmas? And
yes, it gets quite cold there in the winter. It's very cold there in the winter.
Yes, extremely cold.
What about, but if you go in the summer, do you,
Yes, it's quite nice in the summer, because when it's really hot on the plain up in Sridhar, it's in the hills, and that's where people go to get away from the heat of places like Delhi.
What about the food? Did you...
Oh, it's wonderful food.
But, did you... I mean, people always think India, oh God, you know, it's so hot. You have to eat the curries very hot because that's...
Never had a hot curry.
No, no.
They were all perfectly possible to eat.
Very edible, yeah.
Oh, right.
And Kashmiri food is very good and very mild. One of the best things I had was pumpkin in a yogurt sauce.
Their vegetables are beautiful. They grow an awful lot of them. Did you see a lot of them growing? Greens? Spinach?
Spinach was in season. Oh, I loved the pureed spinach.
Mmm.
If you had knew somebody who was going just for a week, how would you advise them to spend their, what things are absolutely unmissable around that area?
Well, we were told
you only had 4 days, didn't you?
Yes, we were only there for 4 days, but we packed the 4 days with trips and sightseeing trips. And we went to see Pahalgam, which was a wonderful trip, just a little mountain town nestling in the foot of the Himalayas. But it was about 100 kilometers away from Srinagar. But the scenery was just out of this world.
There's a museum, which is in what was the Maharaja's palace.
That's well worth a visit, the museum.
Yes.
What about, didn't you say something about some gardens?
Oh, the gardens,
yes.
There are dozens of Mughal gardens.
What are the Mughals?
Shalimar. Oh, Mughal.
Mughal. That was from the Mughal period. That was, what, 18th century?
Yes.
The Mughal emperors built these gardens, and they have a...
Very formal.
Yes. There's a pattern to all of them. They're on several levels, terraces. They're terraced.
Yes.
And there's a water channel going through the middle.
And lots of fountains.
Mm-hmm.
And very formal flower beds.
And
huge trees.
What about sort of bargains that you should look out for to
Well, cashmere.
Everything.
Silk.
Oh.
We went into a silk shop. And inside it was just a glimmer of silk of every color you could think of. It was absolutely beautiful.
And did you get tempted to bring back things you couldn't possibly carry or
hold?
Yes. I brought back a bedspread. Cotton, quilted, but beautiful soft cotton and so much handwork done.
I'll tell you another thing.
Honey.
I bought and couldn't bring back with me.
Honey.
Wonderful honey in Kashmir.
I bought a rug, a lovely Kashmiri rug. They have factories and rug shops all over the place, don't they? I've thought of something else which is well worth buying if you buy small pieces, and that's wood carvings. Cigarette boxes and bowls. Well worth looking at.
Are they the sort of things that you see sometimes with mother-of-pearl inlaid? Do you know?
I didn't see any like that. This was just pure maple from the maple trees around the place. But in Delhi, there was a lot of wood carving with a little mother-of-pearl inlay.
The other thing that Kashmir is famous for is the papier-mâché.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful little boxes and...
What else?
Trays.
Trays, yes. Cocktail mats in their own box, all to match. They use gold leaf for painting some of those, don't they?
Yes.
And you can actually watch it being done by...
Part 4, pre-holiday tips. This is the Daily News Travel Information Line with 6 pre-holiday tips. When you're preparing for a holiday, you should first and foremost make a list of all the documents you'll need. Your list should include the following things: passport, make sure that this is a current visa, check the visa requirements for the countries you're visiting, tickets, travel insurance certificate, foreign currency, and traveler's checks. You'll also need your driving license if you plan to rent a car. Tip 1. It's vital to arrange travel insurance for your trip, and your travel agent will probably offer it to you when you book. If you lose your baggage or your money, or if you need medical attention while you're away, your travel insurance will help to meet the costs. But be warned, if you're planning a skiing holiday, you'll have to pay an additional insurance premium. Tip 2. It's not a good idea to travel with large amounts of cash. Only carry the amount you'll need for day-to-day expenses, such as taxis, bus fares, and food. Traveler's checks are a far safer way of carrying money around because you can get a refund if you lose them or if they're stolen. You'll need to order them from your bank in advance, and remember that banks abroad will charge a small commission when you cash them. Tip 3. If you're hoping to do some sightseeing, it's best to buy a guidebook before you go. Otherwise, you may have to pay the earth for something which is badly translated and barely understandable. If you don't speak the language, take a phrasebook as well. It could be very useful if you get into difficulties and may help to break the ice with the locals. Tip 4. When you're packing, be careful to stick to the airline's baggage allowance, or you'll have to pay for the excess weight when you check in. Don't put aerosol sprays in your case, and make sure any sharp objects, like scissors, are carefully wrapped. 2 useful pieces of equipment to take with you are an all-purpose adapter and a light traveling iron. Tip 5. If you are flying a long distance, there are a few things you can do to reduce the effects of jet lag. Before you leave, try to adapt your eating and sleeping habits to the time zone you are traveling to. If you eat small amounts through the day and try to sleep for short periods, it may be helpful. During the flight, walk around the cabin from time to time and drink plenty of water to cut down dehydration, which causes exhaustion. Tip 6. Finally, it's wise to give the keys of your house to a neighbor or relative so that they can get in case there's an emergency. Ask them to remove any posts from your letterbox, and don't forget to cancel any deliveries of milk or newspapers. Leave the telephone number of the hotel you are staying in and call to let them know your room number when you arrive so that if they need to get in touch with you, they won't have problems tracking you down. Thank you for calling the Travel Information Line. Part 5. Listening and Translation. A. Sentence Translation.
1. Today about 20% of American children live with only one parent. One of the reasons for this is the increasing number of women who have children without being married.
2. For the first 10 months of this year, bilateral trade volume was $4.1 billion, which is a 25% increase over the same period of last year.
3. Globalization obliges all nations, small or large, rich or poor, to take part in a continuous process of adjustment.
4. History is a river that may take us as it will, but we have the power to navigate, to choose direction, and make our passage together.
5. Child labor is just one symptom of the crushing poverty in the world, which deprives children of their basic right to education and freedom.
B. Passage Translation.
1. Police said that about 500 homes were washed away by floods after a typhoon struck the west coast of the island yesterday, bringing driving rain and winds of up to 80 miles per hour. The typhoon flooded wide areas of the island and crippled communications and power supplies. All domestic flights were canceled yesterday, and the international airport was closed for about 5 hours. Government radio reported that 2 passenger ferries had been sunk but gave no details of casualties. The work of emergency relief teams is being hampered by blockade roads and the loss of power and telephone communications in central regions. It will be some time before we hear the final casualty figures.
2. Let's look at my team in more detail then. As you can see, I have a commercial director, a medical director, and then there are 3 unit directors. 2 of them are responsible for domestic sales and 1 for foreign sales. But the interesting thing about these units is the work groups. As you can see, one unit has 3 work groups and another has 4. These groups have a lot of advantages. Firstly, each one works in a different medical field, so they can develop the necessary specialized knowledge. Secondly, it's very motivating for the staff. Each group is a separate profit center. They are totally in control of their own budgets, so they have a lot of responsibility. Unit 9. Part 1. Arrangements for a visit. Conversation 1.
Powerglide Systems.
I'd like to speak to Emma Wood, please.
Who's calling, please?
Ernesto Garon.
One moment, I'll put you through. Emma Wood.
Good morning. This is Ernesto Garon.
Hello, Mr. Garon. Nice to hear from you. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And you?
Fine.
I'm phoning about my visit on the 22nd. I'm afraid I've had to change my flight, and I'm not arriving until 11.
Oh, right. Thank you for letting us know.
And there's something else.
Yes?
Would you mind if I brought a colleague with me?
Of course not. Can I have his name?
Yes. It's a woman, actually. Signora Agnelli. That's A-G-N-E-L-L-I.
Signora Agnelli?
That's right. She'd like to have a look at your rolling mill.
Would you like me to arrange a demonstration?
That would be very kind.
Not at all. Was there anything else?
No, that's everything, I think.
Let me know if there's anything else we can do.
Thank you.
Until Thursday at around 11, then.
Yes. I'm looking forward to meeting everyone.
Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Conversation 2.
Emma Wood.
Ah, Emma. It's Kel Olofsson here.
Hello, Kel. What can I do for you?
It's the visit by Ernesto Garon.
Yes?
I'm afraid I can't make lunch on Thursday.
That's a pity.
Louise can, so it's not a major problem, but I was looking forward to seeing him. Could we meet on Friday instead?
He's going to the Peterborough plant.
I know, but how about a breakfast meeting?
Yes, that would be possible.
Shall we say 8:30 at the Dorchester?
Yes, okay. And a colleague is coming with him.
Is that Signora Agnelli?
Yes.
Fine. Would you put it on the schedule then?
Yes, no problem.
Thanks a lot then. Bye.
Bye.
Conversation 3. Michael Black.
Hello, Michael. Emma here.
Hello, Emma. I got the schedule.
Good. The reason I'm calling is there have been some changes.
Oh, yes?
Mr. Garon is bringing a colleague, a Mrs. Agnelli. Would you mind showing her the rolling mill in operation?
No, not at all.
That's very good of you.
When would suit you best?
Sometime on Thursday, if possible. Would you prefer the morning or the afternoon?
The afternoon, I think. What about 2 o'clock?
That should be fine. We were going on a workshop tour at 2:30, but I can put that off till 3.
Right, then.
So that's 2 on Thursday, then. Thanks a lot, Michael.
You're welcome. Take care.
And you. Bye.
Part 2. Conference arrangements.
Could we have a quick word about the sales conference?
Yes, of course. The venue is booked.
Good. And I've got some definite numbers now. There are 107 delegates.
That's okay. The auditorium holds 130, and I've booked two other rooms as well.
We need to sort out the program.
It's difficult to do that without knowing how many people are attending each talk. There's a conference room that holds 60 people and a meeting room that holds 30.
Well, everyone's going to Mr. Tananka's presentation. He's giving the opening address, but I'll find out about the others.
Would you also ask the speakers if they need any special equipment?
What have you got, then?
There are simultaneous translation facilities in the auditorium, and there's a video projector in the conference room.
What about microphones and slide projectors?
All the rooms have them.
Good.
What time would you like to start?
9, I think. Then we can fit two sessions in before lunch. What are we doing for lunch?
There's a bar for drinks, and I thought we'd have a buffet.
Don't they do sit-down meals?
Yes. Would you prefer a sit-down meal, then?
I think so.
Okay. I'll arrange it.
And I'll find out how many people are going to each presentation.
And what equipment the speakers need.
Yes. Okay.
Part 3. Business Activities. L'Oreal is active in all world markets, and we employ just over 30,000 people worldwide. We have production facilities, agents, and subsidiaries in all 5 continents, and we are increasing our share of the world's cosmetic markets. Let's begin by looking at the different activities of the group. This slide shows last year's sales when we had a turnover of 37.57 billion French francs. If we look more closely, we can see that the largest part of our revenue comes from consumer and salons activities. This market segment accounts for 49% of the total turnover. It includes skincare products, makeup, fragrances, and hair care products, where we are a world leader. The next division is perfumes and beauty. Here, we have an exceptional range of prestigious brands, which includes Lancôme, Helena Rubinstein, and Biotherm. This division's turnover increased last year to stand at 8.5 billion francs. Moving on to active cosmetics, this division has dual objectives. Firstly, to develop new, technically advanced cosmetics, and secondly, to enhance our close relationships with pharmacists, a key channel of distribution. It achieved a turnover of 3.7 billion French francs last year. Then, we come to Synthelabo, our pharmaceutical subsidiary, which accounts for 16.8% of our total revenues. It regularly invests 20% of its turnover in research and development. Synthelabo is making advances in the treatment of central nervous system disorders at the moment, and it will become a world leader in this field in the future. In addition to these 4 major areas of activity, L'Oreal also owns Art Curiel, a contemporary art gallery. We hold a major stake in the Marie Claire Publishing Group, and we have increased our stake in Paravision International, a film production and distribution company. Together, these activities account for 1.8% of our turnover, or 0.7 billion francs. Part 4. Arrangements for a presentation. Ah, good morning, Ms. Ross. Do come in.
Hello, Mr. Fisher. Nice to see you.
Face to face instead of on the phone, what? How are you?
Fine, thanks. Very well.
Oh, do sit down. Would you like some coffee?
Oh, yes, please. Black.
Here you are.
Thanks. Well, how's it all going?
Oh, not too bad. We're just about to open a branch in New Zealand.
Oh, I'm hoping to, if I can justify it to the marketing director. How's your little boy? Has he started school yet?
Oh, yes. He's in the 2nd year now.
What? Already? Doesn't time fly? Is he enjoying it?
Very much. It's much more fun than being home.
Haha. Well, I suppose we'd better make a start. Shall we get down to business?
Right. First of all, can I confirm the time and date of the presentation? It's Saturday, October 24th, in the morning. What time exactly?
Well, on the invitations we've sent out, we've said that the presentation itself will start at 11 and go on till 12:30.
So you'll need the room from about 10 till 2. Would you like us to serve coffee beforehand?
Yes, yes, and drinks and snacks at the end.
Better to have a buffet lunch?
No, people who are invited won't be expecting a free lunch. They might think that's overdoing it. They'll want to get back to their families, as it's Saturday.
All right. The normal pre-lunch snack buffet will be what you need. That's basically the same as what you had last February.
Oh, that'll be fine.
Okay. Well, we'll charge for the room, coffee, and snack buffet at the standard rate, less 15%, as we agreed. And we'll charge for the drinks served on a pro rata basis.
Fine, fine, yes.
What type of, equipment, furniture, would you like?
Well, let's have, five tables for our display. We'll bring our own stands. Now, there's an overhead projector and sound system already in the room, I believe. Can you get someone to check that before we come? You know, to see if it's working?
Oh, of course. The technician will be with you when you're setting everything up. Oh, the seats in that room have flap-over desktops. Will that be all right?
Yes, yes, that's fine, sure.
You say you've sent out the invitations. Any idea how many people there'll be? I think you know there's... The capacity for the room is about 50, but 40 is ideal.
Yes, the problem is that we won't know exactly how many there'll be until shortly before.
Can you let me know definitely by Thursday?
No, but I'll have a rough idea, and we'll budget for the number I give you then. We've sent out 100 invitations.
100?
Yes, well, in theory, that means that there could be 200 people.
Yes, but the room won't.
But of course, I don't expect more than about 30 to come.
But what if they do? This room is the only one we have that day. There's a wedding reception in the banqueting rooms, so we...
Well, in that case, I suppose...
One. Where is the man's company about to open a branch?
Two. What date is the presentation scheduled to take place?
Three. What time is the presentation scheduled to start?
Four. What will they have for lunch?
Five. What equipment will the man bring to the presentation room?
Six. How many people can the presentation room hold?
Seven. How many invitations have been sent out?
Eight. How many people does the man expect to come to the presentation?
Part 5. Numbers, dates, and times. 1. Could you give me his phone number?
Yes, it's 0865-267-622.
2. How many people were at the meeting?
16.
3. We've gotten 60 inquiries so far.
Good. And how many have you replied to?
About 2/3. 4. How many kilometers are there in a mile?
1.6.
5. Oh, it's freezing today.
Yes, it's -8 degrees out there.
6. When were you born?
1958.
Were you? I was born in 59. 7. What's the population of Sweden?
Around 8.5 million.
8. I'm free on the Friday of that week.
Okay, that's the 18th of July then.
9. My flight leaves at 16:50.
Then we'd better leave for the airport at about 2:30.
10. How much did it cost?
$999.99.
Part 6. Listening and Translation. A. Sentence Translation.
1. We're conducting a nationwide survey of people's reading habits. Would you have 5 minutes to answer a few questions?
2. Women in this country now receive equal pay for equal work, and 90% of all women work as truck drivers, scientists, and most other traditionally male jobs.
3. Until the 20th century, the majority of blacks lived in the southern part of the United States. Thus, prejudice against blacks is often associated with the South.
4. In 1999, the number of poor whites increased to 12.5%, while 29% of black families were considered poor and received coupons regularly.
5. People in this age group have to borrow money to pay for houses or apartments, and they also spend a lot of money on furniture and appliances.
B. Passage Translation.
1. Let's look at the new organization of the Associate Company in France. Can everybody see the chart? At the top here, we have the general manager, and he has 6 people who report to him. There's the director, responsible for strategic coordination. Then there's me. I'm responsible for development and marketing. Then there's the production director, the personnel manager, and the pharmaceutical director. Any questions so far?
2. We Americans are incredibly lazy. Instead of cooking a simple, nourishing meal, we pop a frozen dinner into the oven. Instead of studying a daily newspaper, we are contented with the capsule summaries on the network news. Worst of all, instead of walking even a few blocks to the local convenience store, we jump into our cars. This dependence on the automobile, even for short trips, has robbed us of the valuable experience of walking. If we drove less and walked more, we would save money, become healthier, and discover fascinating things about our surroundings.
Unit 10, Part 1, About Canada. Thank you for calling the Daily News Information Line on Canada. Canada is a huge country, in fact, one of the largest in the world. Yet it has only 26 million people, which is less than half the population of the United Kingdom. It extends from the Great Lakes in the south to the majestic Rocky Mountains in the west and the bleak Arctic Islands in the far north. A third of the country is covered by forest, and there are also vast grasslands and countless lakes and rivers. There are great variations in climate. Winters are extremely cold, except in Vancouver, which has a milder climate owing to its location on the west coast. So take a heavy overcoat and a fur hat. Canadian summers are warm on the whole, especially inland, so you'll only need lightweight clothing. A quarter of all Canadians, mainly those living in the province of Quebec in the east, speak French as their first language. In addition, there are 500,000 American Indians, 1 million Germans, and smaller numbers of Italians, Ukrainians, and Inuit. Canada has 2 official languages, English and French, except in the province of Quebec, where French alone is the official language. You'll find English spoken virtually everywhere apart from Quebec. And if you plan to visit Quebec City, you'll definitely need a French phrase book if you don't speak French. Eating out is a pleasure in Canada, and you'll find restaurants, coffee shops, and snack bars to suit every pocket. Menus offer a wide choice with excellent seafood like Pacific salmon, lobsters, and clams. Meat dishes include moose steaks and beef steaks, and also a range of ethnic foods. For the sweet course, the specialty is waffles, a kind of thick pancake served with maple syrup. Beef is good, but foreign wines, even those from neighboring America, tend to be quite dear, and local wines are not particularly good. Canada has some of the world's most modern shopping centers. Clothes tend to be slightly expensive by European standards, but there are some bargains to be had. Good buys include moccasins, a kind of soft leather shoes made by Indians, woolen gloves and sweaters, wood carvings, leather goods, and maple syrup, of course. The unit of currency is the Canadian dollar. Banking hours are from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Monday to Thursday, and till later on Fridays. Have a good trip, and thank you for calling the information line. 1. What population does Canada have? 2. By which of the following is one-third of Canada covered? 3. Which of the following is necessary in winters? 4. How many Canadians speak French as their first language? 5. Which group of the following people also live in Canada? 6. In which of the following provinces is French the only official language? 7. Which of the following can be included in seafood specialties in Canada? 8. Which of the following can be expensive in Canada? 9. Which of the following can not be regarded as a good buy in Canada?
Part 2. Street Life. Extract 1. In my particular group of cottages, the walls are only one brick thick, and one is aware of one's neighbors at various times of the day. In fact, this last week has been a very, very difficult with one particular group of neighbors, both of which are... One is well over 80, and one is coming up to 80, and they've been on at each other almost continually the whole week. They've been arguing. The fact that one is stone deaf means the other one is shrieking at the top of her voice, which... The other problem is that the neighbor opposite tends to be a little bit of a night bird, and he can't live without music, which means that up to 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, I can hear the bass of his stereo, which he insists is not to him very loud, but to me, it's just like a Chinese water torture. Extract 2. Almost every house in this lane has 1, 2, 3, or more cats. And to be woken up at 4:30 in the morning with 2 cats fighting under one's bedroom window is not something I find pleasant.
Well, I find that cat owners have a sort of law unto themselves. It's perfectly all right for their cat to come into your garden, but if I let my little dog into someone's garden to poop and make messes all over the place, I think they'd go berserk, and quite honestly, I encourage my dog to chase cats in our garden because they really do cause a lot of damage.
Extract 3.
Well, I think they're really first buyer's cottages, or old people's cottages, and people on their own, yes, they're all sort of the same type of people.
Well, no, I don't agree. I don't agree wholly there, Helen. I mean, if you look at our particular group here, you've got Mrs. Lawson, who is... she's in her 80s, and then you've got Tim, next door but one, who is a film director, and Robert, who is a Thatcher, with his Italian girlfriend. We're not really all the same. We're all independent, go-getting people, as opposed to sort of boring sort of 9-to-5 job type people.
Oh, well, yes, I suppose I agree with you there, as far as the 9-till-5, but I mean, there's a tremendous variety in ages, I think, in the lane, and I think probably the older people benefit this, in the fact that they are well looked after.
Extract 4. One of the good things about living in a close community is that there is no need to worry about locking your front door or your car doors when you go to the shops or you go to visit friends. It's like living in a shop window, completely. Everything is noticed. It's part of the thing to see who's in and out of the lane so that if the stranger does come, everybody in the... everything is noticed. It's part of the thing to see who's in and out of the lane so that if the stranger does come, everybody is on the notice, you know, to see what's happening, so that you can be quite safe about, at the moment, leaving the house. Extract 5. And then there was the time that I was woken up in the middle of the night by my next-door neighbor, whose ex-husband had arrived asking to see his daughter, and the fact that he was blind drunk didn't help. He refused to go away and was shouting very loudly, so the police was called by another neighbor, and they arrived about 2 o'clock. So you had the father shouting, the next-door neighbor opposite shouting at him, and the police arriving with blue lights flashing. Ah, yes. There's never a dull moment living in the lane.
Part 3. Spain's Hall.
Sir John, who lives in this house now?
I live in the house now. I'm the 8th owner since 1760, with my staff, which consists of Mr. and Mrs. Naughton, my butler, and my housekeeper.
What are the duties of a butler?
To look after my clothes and receive people when they come to the house. Tell them whether I'm here or not, or to generally befriend me, being a bachelor.
Has the Queen been there to the fence hall?
No, the Queen has never been here, but luckily for me, I've had Prince Charles here when he was a student at Trinity College, Cambridge, and I was asked to have him shoot, and he came. And we were astonished to find what a most charming young man he was, physically much stronger than we thought, a delightful man to have as a guest, an extremely good shot, and we were all very impressed.
When members of the royal family come here, how do you decide what they're going to eat?
We have to find out from where they live, from the staff there, what they usually like to eat. And so we tried to put on the same sort of thing. But it quite often didn't work, because when Princess Margaret came to luncheon, we offered her her sweet, and she said she didn't want it, which rather stumped us, and we had nothing much to offer in place of it. Actually, she said no, but can I have, please, some water?
Just some water?
Yes, believe it or not.
Are there any other rules you have to follow when royalty visits you?
Yes, you're not supposed to ask them questions. You must wait until they talk to you, and you can reply to their questions.
Even somebody in your position?
Even somebody in my position, yes.
So, have you had any embarrassing moments when royalty's been here?
Well, I have, actually, Bruce. When Prince Charles lunched here, he suddenly said to me, "Can I have my dog's dinner?" Well, I hadn't thought of this lovely Labrador called Flame, who lay at his feet in front of the fire while he was having lunch with me. We'd fixed up Prince Charles's lunch okay, but nothing for the dog. Of course, if I'd thought about it, I'd have had dog biscuits. But Honor was satisfied because there was a large shooting cake in front of me on our table, lunch table, and I cut a large piece off, gave it to Prince Charles, he gave it to the dog, and Honor was satisfied.
The dog likes your cake?
Yes, wolfed it.
Places I know. Extract 1. Hat.
Every year for the last few years, we visited our friends in a small, tiny little village in the middle of France, and they bought a cow shed, and it was literally a cow shed, with not fit to live in, and they have gradually made it better and renovated it, and it's in a beautiful position. It's on the top of a hill, and for miles around, you can see this beautiful countryside. And I think only one other house. So you do need a car, and you take the car into the tiny little village where there are about 4 or 5 shops and a very nice restaurant where you can go and have a 5-course meal for very little money. And also near is a very big lake, because this place is in the Dordogne, and there are lots of lakes there. And we go there most afternoons and windsurf and sail. Also, there's a very nice market, fresh market, there once a week, where you got lovely plates, lovely fresh fish, really good fresh fish, and lovely bowls and baskets which the local people have made. I like this part of France very much, but I think it's a shame that there are too many English people there.
Extract 2. David.
What kind of city is it?
It's a very modern city. I expected that Tokyo would be quite old, but there are very few parts of it which are old, in fact, at all, because it was firebombed during the Second World War by the Americans. There are 1 or 2 temples that survived that, but basically it's a city that's been built since 1945. A lot of it is low-rise, 1, 2, 3-story houses, because of the earthquake danger, because they get lots of earthquakes. Once you've mastered a little bit of Japanese, it's relatively easy to get around Tokyo because they've got an excellent subway system, and it's quick and easy to get around. The problem is, of course, that Tokyo is a city of 13, 14, 15 million people, and they all want to get around at exactly the same time. So, especially if you're traveling in the rush hours, 8 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock at night, it is a question in many of the big stations of being pushed onto the train. They pay students a bit of extra pocket money to do this. Right in the center of Tokyo is the Imperial Palace, and that's set in delightful gardens, but it's completely closed to the public, so nobody ever sees it. In the rest of Tokyo, there are 10, 12 public gardens, but they tend to get very filled up with people, especially during national holidays and what have you. Other than that, it's just street after street, and block after block of very similar houses. As I say, 1 or 2-story houses, which just go on and on for mile after mile, because Tokyo extends over, I don't know, hundreds of square miles. A massive city. Extract 3. Cindy.
I come from the northern United States, Rochester, Minnesota. It's a town of about 50,000 people, and it's a very clean town. It's an ordinary town, fairly wealthy, but it's a bit strange because there are a lot of transients, a lot of people who don't live there. It's the home of the Mayo Clinic, and so there are thousands and thousands of people who come every year. The other thing is there are also a lot of foreign residents. A lot of doctors and nurses are from other countries, and so it makes what could be a really dull Midwest town something special. The library is very good. Cultural events are much more interesting than the rest of Minnesota, and actually, it's not a bad place to grow up. On the other hand, I was dying to leave there, and all I could think of was getting away from the Midwest in the cold winters. You have about 6 months when it's almost too cold to go outside. A lot of the buildings are designed so that you can walk from one to the other underground. There's a big pedestrian subway system so you can avoid all this snow.
Part 5. Listening and Translation. A. Sentence Translation.
1. Police are to interview the residents of the village where the missing businessman, Samuel Johnson, lived. This will mean interviewing up to 4,000 people.
2. Let me introduce Mr. Peter Collins. He is the director of the finance department of this corporation.
3. Yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning on the North Highway, a lorry overturned with the driver seriously injured. It was 2 hours before the road was finally cleared.
4. As a result of corporate restructuring, which included reorganizing our affiliates and cutting more than 300 jobs, our earning power has improved.
5. Frankly, it really doesn't matter which city stages the Olympic Games or how magnificent the facilities are. The heart of every Games are the competitions.
B. Passage Translation.
1. Physical activity is for kids. Adults don't have time to hit a baseball or run around a field or to do aerobics and lift weights in the gym. They have to earn a living, raise families, and save money for retirement. They can leave exercise to their children. I firmly believe this until one morning when, late for work, I ran after a bus. My heart pounded, my lungs gasped, my head swam. Then, I realized I wouldn't be around to do my job, support my family, or enjoy retirement unless I got into the habit of doing something physical to maintain my health. Regular exercise can rejuvenate your body, refresh your mind, and broaden your interests.
2. I have been living as a foreigner in the U.S. since last August. The first thing I noticed was there was no unemployment. In fact, there is a shortage of workers for most types of jobs, particularly jobs for youths in department stores, fast food restaurants, and offices. Whether it's right or wrong, it's all to do with the minimum wage of just over $5 an hour, irrespective of age. If you are a good worker and the company wishes to keep your services, it gives you a title and increases your pay. It's up to the individual to make a go of it. I suggest our government take a leaf from the American's book on the attitude to work and wages. My 15-year-old daughter back home can't get a part-time job, let alone a full-time job. Her counterparts here are picking and choosing whatever jobs they want. Unit 11, Part 1, On the Phone.
Mitsu Corporation, can I help you?
Could I speak to Mr. Blake on extension 234, please?
Good morning. Mr. Blake's office. Can I help you?
Yes. Can I speak to Mr. Blake, please?
Who's calling, please?
Eduardo Funnel from Pump PLC.
Thank you. I'll just put you through. I'm afraid he's on another line at the moment. Would you like to hold?
Yes, fine.
This is Jim Blake speaking.
Hello, Jim. It's Eduardo here from Prompt PLC.
Hello, nice to hear from you. How are things going? How's the family?
Everyone's fine, thanks. And you?
Oh, yes, not too bad. Things are a bit difficult at work. We're all under a lot of pressure. There aren't enough hours in the day, frankly.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to my holidays. Oh, by the way, talking of holidays, I met Jean Rose the other day.
Oh, really?
Yes, she looked very well. She asked after you.
Oh, that's nice. Is Robert still working for Russell?
I didn't ask.
I must call them sometime. Anyway, you called yesterday, so I'm returning your call.
Did I? Oh, yes. It's about the meeting we have fixed for next Wednesday. I can't make it, I'm afraid. I'll be in Edinburgh. Urgent business.
Oh, well, how about Friday instead?
Sorry, I'm tied up all day then. Would the following Wednesday be all right?
That's fine by me. See you on Wednesday, same time, same place. Give my regards to Linda and the girls.
I will. Send to Sandra.
B.
Good morning, Melkit PLC. Can I help you?
Good morning. Can I speak to John Smith on extension 283?
I'm sorry. I'm getting no answer from that extension number. Would you like to hold?
Yes, please.
John Smith speaking.
Hello. This is Katie Harrison from Byron Limited.
Oh, hello. Nice to hear from you. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Very busy, of course.
How can I help you?
I'm afraid I can't make our meeting on Tuesday. I'm tied up that day.
Oh, I see. So you want the meeting on another day?
Yes, please. Would Thursday at 2 be all right?
Let me look in my diary. Yes, that's fine. No problem.
Okay, I'll see you then.
Okay, bye. I look forward to seeing you later.
Please,